stopped and defeated. Americans should not expect one battle, but a lengthy campaign, unlike any other we have ever seen. The U.S. started bombing Afghanistan a few weeks later. The Taliban surrendered in Kandahar on 9th of December 2001. The U.S. began to fight them again in earnest in March of 2002. In April of 2002, George W. Bush promised to help bring true peace to Afghanistan. Peace will be achieved by helping Afghanistan develop its own stable government. Peace will be achieved by helping Afghanistan train and develop its own national army. And peace will be achieved through an education system for boys and girls which works. The so-called global war on terror was not confined to operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. The U.S. now has counter-terrorism operations in at least 85 countries. The human cost. Most Afghans alive today were not born when the U.S. war in Afghanistan began. The median age in Afghanistan is just 18.4 years, including their country's war with the Soviet Union from 1979 to 1989 and civil war in the 1990s. Most Afghans have lived under nearly continuous war. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, there are 980,000 U.S. Afghanistan war veterans. Of these men and women, 507,000 served in both Afghanistan and Iraq. As of mid-August 2021, 20,722 members of the U.S. military had been wounded in action in Afghanistan, not including the 18 who were injured in the attack by Daesh terrorists outside Kabul airport on 26th of August. Of the veterans who were injured and lost a limb in the post-9/11 wars, many lost more than one. According to Dr. Paul Pasquina of the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences, of these veterans, about 40% to 60% also sustained a brain injury. Because of some of the lessons learned and the innovations that have taken place on the battlefield, we were taking care of service members who in previous conflicts would have died. In fact, because of advances in trauma care, more than 90% of all soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq who were injured in the field survived. Many of the seriously injured survived wounds that in the past might have killed them. In all, 2,455 U.S. service members were killed in the Afghanistan war. The figure includes 13 U.S. troops who were killed by Daesh terrorists at Kabul airport attack on 26th of August 2021. U.S. deaths in Operation Enduring Freedom also include 130 service members who died in other locations besides Afghanistan, including at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba, in Djibouti, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Jordan, Kenya, Kyrgyzstan, Pakistan, the Philippines, Seychelles, Sudan, Tajikistan, Turkey, Uzbekistan, and Yemen. The United States has paid $100,000 in a death gratuity to the survivors of each of the service members killed in the Afghanistan war, totaling $245.5 million. More than 46,000 civilians have been killed by all sides in the Afghanistan conflict. These are the direct deaths from bombs, bullets, blasts, and fire. According to the United Nations Assistance Mission in Afghanistan, thousands more have been injured in the Afghanistan war. And while the number of Afghans leaving the country has increased in recent weeks, More than 2.2 million displaced Afghans were living in the Islamic Republic of Iran and Pakistan at the end of 2020. The United Nations Refugee Agency reported recently that since the start of last year, more than 558,000 people have been internally displaced, having fled their homes to escape violence in Afghanistan. According to the United Nations, in 2021, about a third of people remaining in Afghanistan are malnourished. About half of all children under the age of 5 years have experienced malnutrition. The human toll also includes the hundreds of Pakistani civilians who were killed in more than 400 U.S. drone strikes in Pakistan since 2004. Those drone strikes happened as the U.S. sought to kill Taliban and Al-Qaeda leaders who fled and sheltered in Pakistan in late 2001 after the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan. Pakistani civilians have also been killed in crossfire during fighting between militants and the Pakistani military. The financial cost. In terms of the U.S. federal budget, the Congress has allocated a bit over $1 trillion to the Department of Defense, the Pentagon, for the Afghanistan war. But all told, the war has cost much more than that, including the Department of Defense, the Pentagon spending. More than $2.3 trillion has been spent so far, including increases to the Pentagon's base military budget due to the fighting. U.S. State Department spending on to reconstruct Afghanistan and train its military, interest on borrowing to pay for the war in Afghanistan, and spending for veterans and the Veterans Affairs system. The total cost so far for all post-9/11 war veterans' disability and medical care costs are about $465 billion through fiscal year 2022. And this doesn't include the future costs of all of the post-9/11 veterans' medical and disability care, which Harvard University scholar Linda Bilmes estimates will likely add about $2 trillion to the overall cost of care for American veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars between now and 2050. The war in Afghanistan, like many other wars before it, began with optimistic assessments of a quick victory and a promise to rebuild at the war's end. Despite George W. Bush's warning of a lengthy campaign, few thought that that would mean decades of war. But here we are 20 years later, the United States is still counting the costs of the Afghan war.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
Supplication A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio. And you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. We are looking at As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyya, and we are looking at supplication number 8, verse number 1, word number 2, or vice number 2 in the list. Imam Sajjad Salamullah alayhi asks Allah for refuge when it comes to the attack of anger, when anger comes. So we said anger, obviously, it is a mental state, or when a person feels or gets in a situation, whether it's defensive or whether it's revenge or whether he's trying to get something, and he gets this stage where he starts to rage and he starts to take anger out. And we did say that sometimes it's a good, sometimes it's bad. Having too much is bad. Having too little is bad. You need to have that moderate. Sometimes when it comes to anger as well, we kind of show it in different ways. So sometimes we show it through body language, where our face would have an angry look and it might turn red, for example. Sometimes our hand movement and our hand gestures, we can use it to show anger. So sometimes it's just a body language. Sometimes it's verbal. So I can say things. I can say bad words. I can swear. I can curse. I can, you know, give really bad criticism, not constructive, but destructive. I can put people down. I can do a lot of things with verbal words to show my anger. That's the second level. So we have body language anger, we have verbal anger, and then we have physical anger, and that's the worst, where a person directly goes and hurts other people physically, or breaks their property, or does damages to them. Let us take a break, then we continue, inshallah.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbana.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. So we said there are three levels, or three different ways one shows his anger, either through body language, either through verbal language, or either through physical and action, where to harm a person or to harm property of a person, which what we see. And we said most of the time this comes as a result of revenge, or because a person trying to defend himself in the wrong way, obviously. However, in Islam, if we look at it from the Islamic perspective, Islam, when we look at the Quran or the Prophet or the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say there is two types of anger: good anger and bad anger. So there's an anger where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's good, and there's one that He says is bad. So even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi says, خَيْرُ الْأُمُورِ أَوْسَطُهَا. The best of things is the middle. Allah says, جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةٍ وَسَطًا. We made you a middle nation. So we need to be moderate in everything else. So when it comes to one's anger, when it comes for the sake of Allah, one to protect himself, to protect his family, to protect his religion, to protect his country. In this way, it is a good thing. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and Ahlul Bayt, they used to have this kind of anger towards the deen, towards oppressors, towards trying to help and support those who are weak. And they never stood down, so that you can see it in their faces, you can see it in their action. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet, Muhammad is the Prophet of Allah, and those who are with him are tough on the enemy. They're not soft and gentle. No, no, they have this anger in them. Let us take a break and then we continue right after, inshallah.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. So we said there is a good type of anger when it comes to our faith, religion, house, country, and what have you. And we mentioned a few verses from the Quran. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi used to say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi kana nabi la yaghdabu lid-dunya, that the Prophet would never get angry for anything materialistic when it comes to this world. فَإِذَا أَغْضَبَهُ الْحَقِّ لَمْ يَصْرِفُ أَحَدٍ. But when he gets angry for the truth, then no one could deter him. وَلَمْ يَقَمْ لِغَضَبِهِ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى يَنْتَصُرُ لَهُ. And nothing would stand against him when he becomes angry for the truth until he becomes victorious. So you see how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi used to get angry, just like any other person. But his anger wasn't for the dunya. He's not getting angry because someone broke his phone. He didn't get angry because someone used his laptop. He didn't get angry because someone ate his food. He didn't get angry because someone took his clothes. No, these are for the dunya. These are for this material world. He used to get angry when he sees the Islamic laws being broken. When he sees people listening to haram, watching the haram, performing the haram. That used to make him angry because they are preaching the limits of Allah. Me and you, sometimes we see this happening. We see the limits of Allah being preached and we just don't care. We just don't have this anger towards our faith or towards our religion. So that's, we have a problem here. We need to get our anger activated. We need it to work so we can feel that rage towards all these things. The Imam alayhi salam, he says to Abu Dharr, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ya Aba Dharr, innaka idha ghadabta lillah, if you get angry for the sake of Allah, farju man ghadabta lah, and seek him, he who you got angry for. Innal qawma khafuka ala dunyahum wa khuftahum ala deenik. The people, they got scared from you because they care about their wealth, they care about their dunya, their material life, while you are afraid for your own faith. So we need to, when it comes to anger, we need to get angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of our faith, not for the sake of this dunya. That would be the end of today's program. Inshallah, we will continue in episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al-Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را، هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us present you a brief but bright gem of an advice from the Holy Prophet's 10th infallible heir, Imam Ali al-Naqi al-Hadi, peace be upon him. This life of this world is a market in which some people gain and others lose.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
A group of women are joining hands to protect one of India's key natural sites that is also on UNESCO's heritage list, the Western Ghats, a mountain chain that's facing severe deforestation. The 27 members of this all-female task force are doing all they can to protect the area's rare ferns, mosses, and thousands of other plants. They're using a variety of gardening tools and techniques to preserve species from all over the mountains. Not only that, but they also make artificial conditions and habitats for endangered species from other parts of the world, mainly those affected by climate change. One of the conservationists explained that what they are doing is actually helping the forest regenerate.
We have witnessed the birth of a forest, and that's a very powerful thing. You know, the mind is filled with the ghastly stories of forests being cut, like the Amazon or like the Western Ghats. But here we're witness to the birth of forests as well. And that is the forest itself birthing itself, you see.
The Western Ghats Mountains are home to nearly 5,000 species of flowering plants, but many of them are globally threatened. Only less than half of the area's flora is currently under conservation. Scientists say the outlook for the mountain is very concerning. Carbon dioxide is one of the causes of global warming, but can we get rid of it to save our planet? A Swiss firm has come up with a novel idea to store CO2 underground and turn it into rocks. Company Climeworks has started operating the world's largest direct air carbon capture and storage plant called Okra in Iceland. Located in Hershady, Okra is entirely run on renewable energy. It soaks carbon dioxide directly from the air and buries it as rocks deep underground to be mineralized. Usually, a natural process takes hundreds of thousands of years to turn the gas into basaltic rocks. But here, it takes up to 2 years for the CO2 to turn into white crystals.
Once the carbon dioxide is captured, it will be dissolved in water, and here we are at the injection site. The carbon dioxide dissolved in water will come through this pipe into the well, where it will be injected into the volcanic rock at a depth of between 800 meters and 2 kilometers.
The plant is said to be removing 4,000 tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere each year. The amount is too little to save the planet from carbon emissions. As climate modeling suggests, the world needs to eliminate several billion tons per year by 2050. Here we have to take into account the saying of the head of ORCA that we have to learn to walk before we can run. Legends never die. So 1 year after his death, Argentinians are remembering their hero on his birthday. And that's no one but their legendary football player, Diego Maradona. It would have been Maradona's 61st birthday this year. People all around the country, including in the capital, Buenos Aires, remembered their iconic figure in ceremonies over the weekend. In the city of Rosario, a giant monument was inaugurated in honor of the football star. You can see on your screens fans gathering there in celebration. They say Maradona's love still runs in the veins of Argentinians. Amsterdam, the capital of the Netherlands, is riddled with waterways through which thousands of boats pass each day. Soon, the city may also be hosting self-driving vessels. Amsterdam's Institute for Advanced Metropolitan Solutions has devised an autonomous boat that can cross the city's busy canals without the help of a conductor. The watercraft, named a rowboat, is the size of a small car. The developers intend to use the boats for tasks ranging from transporting people to collecting trash. They think it can also be used for less conventional purposes, like preventing oil spills or forming a temporary bridge. Amsterdam's authorities are considering locations for a trash collection pilot project starting early next year. One of the disastrous effects of climate change has been the loss of glaciers worldwide. People around the world are trying new ways to tackle this problem. Now, a team of Chilean conservationists have come up with a creative project to protect glaciers and prevent water loss. The project is called Nilus. Winter rains are collected in cone-like structures called stupas. Experts from Chile are using a technology that was first developed in India to make these man-made glaciers. The water is then later used in the dry summer months. Chile has been experiencing a severe drought for years. Nilus director Enrique Gilona says the project hopes to address water shortages in the country.
Here we are not creating new water. Water is something that is in nature already. It has a cycle, but clearly it has been affected by the effects of the great climate change, which we are facing. And we are looking for a solution that actually allows us to protect this water for a longer time in the mountain range, to be able to deliver it downstream toward the communities.
The goal is to store some 100 million liters of water across 50 stupas next year. This would be enough water to supply 100,000 people for 3 months. The first prototype was erected in Park Arenas, an area known for its glaciers surrounding a volcano, the highest parts of the mountain region. Researchers and activists have warned that glaciers in the Andes Mountains have been receding in recent years. They blame climate change for the loss of glaciers and water shortages. A photo on social media, an article, or a TV program can all draw attention to climate change. But to a German artist, nothing seems to be as effective as a journey using a giant water ball to make his voice heard. Arndt Drossel started his journey from his hometown Paderborn West Germany 3 months ago. The trip has so far taken him through more than 60 cities. He has completed the journey to the Scottish city of Glasgow, the venue of a major UN climate conference. Drossel says he aims to tell people how they can help tackle climate change, now a key global problem. The German artist believes everyone has a duty to solve the problem to help next generations have a good future.
My wife and I, we have 5 children, and we want to give them a good and happy future. And everybody knows, I think, about the problems our Earth has, and we will have the same problem in several cities and countries.
The German artist says he has encouraged people to make specific promises to tackle climate change. He says his own pledge was to offset all his personal carbon emissions by using the sphere for his journey. Drossel says he will continue his efforts until the promises reach 1 million.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Meet Clarion, a homemade polar bear whose mission is to raise awareness of climate change in a 500-kilometer pilgrimage to Glasgow. The 3-meter polar bear is work of British furniture maker Bamber Hoss. The bear weighs 17 kilograms and is made of bamboo, willow, and tissue paper. Hoss started his journey with Clarion from his hometown of Bishop's Castle in England to Glasgow. They accomplished their spectacular journey ahead of the United Nations COP26 climate conference in the Scottish city. Hoss says Clarion is a symbol of melting Arctic ice caps due to global warming.
He's called Clarion. Clarion the bear is not a bear. He is a metaphor. He's a symbol. It is a very obvious symbol that a polar bear represents the Arctic, not the Antarctic, and that is where, you know, some of the problems are with melting ice caps. Not all the problems, because they're elsewhere as well.
Hoss says his aim is to encourage people to pay attention to climate change. Environmental activists from across the UK and elsewhere on the continent have also embarked on a long journey on foot to reach the UN climate change conference in Glasgow. Did you know that animals might have the potential to help tackle climate change? Strange indeed, but that seems to be the case according to scientists. The sheep on a remote Scottish island have a special diet that consists mainly of seaweed. This feature is what scientists are hoping can help reduce global warming. Sheep usually feed on grass, and the process contributes to methane emissions. But scientists say the sheep in Orkneys are unique because of spending the winter eating only the marine plants. Listen to one researcher explaining whether feeding seaweed into the sheep diet can actually help reduce gas emissions.
The main thing at the moment is we need to absolutely prove, one, which seaweed is going to be the best for this, what amount of seaweed into the feed gives the best effect, and then can you scale that up to a level where you would actually have an effect on the overall UK farming?
If proven, the Scottish sheep and their unique diet could lead to a breakthrough in methods for livestock breeding, which is a major source of greenhouse gases. Methane is about 30 times more powerful than carbon dioxide in trapping heat in the atmosphere.
Flocks of sheep are on the streets of Madrid. The animals have made their way through the center of the Spanish capital to follow ancient migration routes. Shepherds accompanied their sheep and goats moving through the streets of the Spanish capital. They actually marked a centuries-old annual tradition that began in 1994. The event allows shepherds to migrate their cattle from summer to winter pastures. They do so based on a deal struck in 1418 that allows the animals to walk through the city freely. The event attracts hundreds of people. It was canceled last year due to the pandemic, but this year, many locals came out to watch.
The Philippines is among the countries facing a soaring plastic waste crisis. However, a group of recyclers are working hard to tackle the problem, turning the waste into building materials. The group is called the Plastic Flamingo, or simply the PLAF. They gather bottles, single-use sachets, and snack food wrappers. The waste is then shredded and molded into post-add planks that can be used for decking and fencing. Their products are also durable enough to make disaster relief shelters and urban furniture. The group says the coronavirus pandemic has worsened the plastic waste problem, sparking a rush for protection equipment. Their disposal is a matter of concern now.
Because of the plastic problem we're currently facing, the pandemic, the huge accumulation of plastic use, there's also improper disposal. People are unaware on, you know, how do I dispose these plastics? Where do I dispose of them? So at the same time, we give that avenue also that instead of putting it in landfills or oceans in general, you know, you give it to the PLAF, you give it to recycling centers like us, and we would recycle these, upcycle them into better products.
The PLAF says surging online shopping is also another problem that they try to address. The group has collected over 100 tons of plastic waste since it started the business in 2019. However, they still have a lot to do. A UN report says some 300 million tons of plastic waste are produced annually, with South Asian countries accounting for 60% of it. A North Macedonian zoo has a new inhabitant. It may be small, but it has certainly sparked a big amount of joy. The baby marmoset was born 3 weeks ago. Its parents are super protective of their precious offspring. That's why zoo staff have not been able to get close to the baby and determine if it's a male or a female. The tiny primate will be given a name after its sex is known. Marmosets are the world's smallest monkeys. On average, they are about 13 centimeters long and weigh up to 100 grams. The adorable animals can be found in a number of countries in the Americas.
The hustle and bustle of modern life has made it difficult to communicate with nature the way humans used to do a few decades ago. Now a giant statue in the state of New York reminds us of the importance of lending an attentive ear to our surroundings. The massive statue named Water's Soul is located along the Hudson River. A woman's head with her index finger pressing on her lips seems she's asking bystanders to maintain silence. It's a work of 66-year-old Spanish artist Juanme Palenza. He says the message of his work is, quote, to call on people to listen to the profound noise of the water talking to us. Water's Soul was made of polyester resin, fiberglass, and marble dust at a Barcelona studio. It was later shipped to its Jersey City site for assembly. The sculpture is 24 meters tall.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is today's special, so welcome. Today we're going to speak about how to manage stress in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغدق لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
Today, Friday, is the 29th of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 5th of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment by recitation of verse 3 from chapter Talaq.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wa yarzuquhu min haythu la yahtasib. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا.
And will provide for him from where he does not expect. And whoever relies upon Allah, then he is sufficient for him. Indeed, Allah will accomplish his purpose. Allah has already set for everything a decreed extent.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Man is supposed to turn away from expectations from creatures and turn toward the Creator. Thus human acts aim at divine satisfaction. Thus man never sets his hopes on anything besides him, Allah. He may not entertain fear of anything besides him. He does not attach heart to anything besides him. This is the spirit of trust. The blessed verse is saying that trust designates that industrious Muslims put their trust in God Almighty and invoke him to remove the obstacles. Allah the Almighty is all aware of man's needs. He is most gracious and most compassionate. He is omnipotent to remove all impediment. Stress and depression are two of the most common illnesses in our society. It can be defined as a situation that causes physical, mental, and emotional worry. From 12 years old to 60 years old, most of the people are suffering from some stress or depression. It can destroy happiness and peace ultimately. Life has its perks and problems working side by side. No one can run away from them. What matters is how we deal with them. It is okay to be stressed out and depressed for a limited time,
But one should analyze how much of it is too much. One of the most beautiful aspects of Islam is that it suggests a solution for every problem.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to confront stress or how to manage stressful situations. Now we find that elsewhere in the Holy Quran, it's indicated that believers hold a firm belief in that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for them will certainly take place. قلنا يصيبنا إلا ما كتب الله لنا هو مولانا وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون. Say that لن يصيبنا إلا ما كتب الله لنا. Nothing will reach us unless determined or destined by Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And that true believers should rely on only Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Another one is that we've been trained to believe in the divine justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never wrongs anybody, never commits oppression on anybody, on any community. However, when some people, after being alerted and warned not to commit certain mistakes or not to commit certain sins, when they continue, they will certainly receive the punishment.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Now let's look at the ways to lower our daily stress. Be content with what you have. It's important. Most of us are not satisfied with what we have. You might be stressed about not getting that promotion, or unsatisfied with your job or salary, or tensed with your children. Remember that there are people dealing with harder situations than yourself. Some are homeless, jobless, or without children. In worldly matters, look to those below you to be humbled. Looking above you triggers jealousy and ungratefulness, while in religious matters, look to those above you to get inspired to reach a high level of taqwa. You must always be thankful for Allah, for what Allah granted you. You might think that what you want is better for you, but He knows what is truly best for you.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawm al-qiyamati. يقولها شفعة أنا لها.
Now, what you know about stress likely is not true. Stress triggers are the same for everybody. Everybody deals with stress differently, and it's important to know that you're on a unique journey. Not only does each person have unique stress triggers, but the symptoms and duration of stress also vary for everybody. Don't let others downplay your stress or try to tell you your feelings associated with the stress aren't valid. Relieving stress is the same for everybody. Exercising might be a great way for some people to combat the stress, but it may lead to someone else feeling even more stressed about going to the gym. Addressing and treating stress is far from the same for everybody, so you need to figure out a treatment option that works for you. If you're uncertain about how to start pushing back on your stress, talking to your healthcare provider can help initiate your stress reduction journey. سید صالح القزوینی.
And the problem, why do we have stress? Why do we have so much anxiety? Why do we have so much restlessness? You know, many of us, we can't sleep sometimes. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be extreme on one side or suicidal. Stress is something that happens to all of us. Why? What is one of the main reasons for it? One of the main reasons for it is that we do not know what the future holds for us. Why do many people stress? They stress because they don't know what's going to happen to them tomorrow. They don't know whether, you know, they're going to get married or not. They don't know whether they're going to have children or not. They don't know whether they're going to be able to pay the bills, whether they're going to be able to provide for their family. These are things that when we think about them, it creates stress. And then we cannot sleep. We can't function properly because we are constantly thinking about these things. Or sometimes we want to have a very successful lifestyle. I want to live a beautiful lifestyle. I want to be extremely successful, and I'm always running. I'm always running. I'm trying to reach my goal, but I find that it's hard to reach that goal. I find that the definition of success in my mind, it's very difficult to reach it, and therefore I'm stressed. Therefore I have anxiety, and sometimes it leads to depression, and sometimes it leads to suicide, and sometimes it leads to major problems that I hurt myself and I hurt people around me. Why do we have these feelings? Well, first of all, Allah is not in the equation. And when Allah is not in the equation, what is the definition of success in my mind? What does this society, a capitalistic society, teach me what a successful person is? And what does Allah teach me what a successful person is? What does this society and TV and movies and shows and actors and actresses, how do they define a successful marriage? How do they define beauty? You see that beauty is defined in one way by Hollywood, and it's defined in another way by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Success is defined one way by Hollywood and by movies and by what we see on TV, and success in the eyes of Allah is something completely different. The problem with me, Allah is not in the equation, and therefore I'm running after the wrong target. I'm running after the wrong goal. And when I'm running after the wrong goal, the dunya, I will never be able to. I will never be able to have this dunya. Even if I was the richest person and the most successful person, I'm still going to see that I don't have what others have. And I can't. It's impossible to have everything. It's impossible to live forever. So even if you are successful, even if you have a million, you're going to wish to have another million. And if you have 2 million, you're going to wish to have 4 million. And then you're going to wish to have 8 million. This is how Bani Adam is. This is how the human being is.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.